Thank you. All right, let's make it real simple. I'm going to ask Brother Jim, while you're standing, why don't you open up our service with a word of prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the night, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for our pastor, Lord. You just help him, Lord. Bless
Amen.
Him, Lord. Give him words to say today, Lord. Calm his heart, Lord. And Lord, just help him concentrate on the good he's doing here, Lord.
Yes.
And Lord, we just ask for your presence tonight, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit move within us, Lord, and open up our minds and our hearts, Lord, that we may see Christ today, Lord, and Lord, that we may learn new things about you, Lord, and that Jesus Christ will be upheld tonight, Lord. And bless us at our prayer time, Lord. Hear our prayers, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for these things. Thanks for your grace and your mercy, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for these things, man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I'm standing in the right place for a change. Am I not? All right, amen. Let's turn it to it. Let's everybody stand and sing together. 206. 206. He's coming again, amen. 206. Remember that. 207, sooner or later.
looks like it's going to be sunny or nice weather next Wednesday. So we won't have church next Wednesday unless some crazy weather moves in. So next Wednesday, the 20th, what we will do for those that are interested, I'm going to come out here Wednesday, just set up a little table out front, hand out any tracts, anybody that might want them, invite them out to church, and just see if there can be any witnessing opportunities with those that may be in this area here. I'm just kind of using this year just to scout out and see how the parade's done, and then maybe make adjustments for the following years if the Lord allows. So next Wednesday, there won't be church that Wednesday if it's sunny. But there'll be church that Thursday. So the 21st, if you're interested in coming to church, we'll have it again. We'll have it Thursday, the 21st. Revival meeting, Brother Tim Krotz will be with us October 29th, 30th, and 31st. Looking forward to having him in. And that's about all I have. Yeah. Amen. Amen, brother.
All right. Again, I'm going to make it easy on you. Hymn number one. How about that? That's in the front of your hymnals for those of you who are a little asleep tonight. Everybody stand and sing. Hymn number one.
Glad to be in church this evening.
Amen.
I'm glad we have a solid rock that we're able to stand upon. Amen. If you take your Bibles this evening, we're going to continue on in 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And verse number 1 before we jump on over to verse number 13. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. Again, the Bible says here, but there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, look at verse 2. I know we've looked at it before, and I know I repeat it every time, most of the times when we come together on Wednesday night through these passages here. But the more I study through 2 Peter, the more I see how important it is. And it says in verse 2, and many, see the Bible says there, it says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, which means destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Okay? So many, there's going to be many individuals are going to follow a false way, a destructive way, and through following this false and destructive way by these false teachers that come among them and bring in damnable heresies, many are going to follow their destructive ways, their pernicious ways, and as they do that, those that are following the truth are going to be spoken of as being evil, and what they do as being evil, how much so to where you could say that we hate humanity, okay? I believe it's going to come to a point where true Bible-believing Christians are going to be viewed as, from the world, as hating true humanity. We're going to be looked at as people that just don't like mankind, which is just the opposite. Brethren, this is just, we ought to be as Christians just the opposite. We ought to have a great heart for mankind, to the point of where we should desire that all men come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Savior. That ought to be our heart's desire, that all men would come to the truth and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Verse number 3 says this, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words, deceptive words, tricky words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. They're going to make merchandise of you. They're going to want you for one thing and one thing only, in the money that you have. Now, look over to same chapter, verse 13. Last week we talked about how important it is. And brethren, I don't know how much more to reiterate it. How important it is, and how God puts a premium on how we treat authority. It's a dangerous spot, and I can speak from experience on this, because I, as a fool, there's times where I've spoken against authority and God has dealt with me swiftly on it. But any God-ordained authority, whether right or wrong, if it's God-ordained, we ought to be very careful on how we speak against that authority, especially if God's ordained it. Because in reality, if God's ordained it, then it's as if we're speaking against God. So the Bible says here this week in verse 13, he says, and shall receive the reward of, we'll look back at verse number 12. But these as natural brute beasts, referring to those that speak against dignities, they bring railing accusations against those in government and those that are in authority. And we looked at last week how over in Jude it says that Michael the archangel, He said the Lord rebuked thee when he fought with Satan over Moses' body. He said the Lord rebuked thee. Michael's got some power. Michael's got some authority. And even Michael said the Lord rebuked thee. Okay? So there's this thing with authority. And verse 12 says, but these, those that speak against authority, these false teachers, they're as natural brute beasts which are made to be taken and destroyed. And they speak evil of things that they understand not. These false teachers don't even realize what they're doing and what they're speaking. And the Bible says, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption.
And then it goes on to verse 13. It says, and shall receive these false teachers and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Now, this portion and this thought goes all the way down to verse 22, the end of the chapter. But it says here in verses 13 and 14 that they shall receive the reward of their unrighteousness. I'm thankful this evening that I'm on the right side. I was talking with somebody yesterday, for a while yesterday, and I told him, I said, I'm just thankful, and I don't understand why, brother, and I really don't understand why, and I think some of you could testify to this. I don't understand why God allowed me to see the truth. You know, when you look out in just the United States, and then you start looking in other countries, and kids that are born in different countries, I begin to think, Lord, why me? God, why would you open my eyes? Lord, God, I don't understand why you love me. I don't understand why you died for me. Lord, I don't even understand why you put up with me even after I'm saved, God. Your mercy, your grace is unfathomable. And Lord, your love can't be comprehended. Why God would love me. And I'm thankful that I know that someday there's going to be reward to those that are living in unrighteousness. Those that reject God, those that hate God, someday there's going to be a judgment day and God will take care of them. But I notice one thing about these individuals is that it says, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. The word riot means to revel, to run to excess in feasting, drinking, or other sensual indulgences. These individuals love to live in pleasure, it says, in the daytime. And you see that today, especially in this country, all the pleasures that this country has to offer us. And these individuals love to riot in the daytime. If there's anything that I desire for you to get this evening, is that we're to work during the day. The night's coming. Work, for the night is coming. When man can work no more. We need to work and be about our Father's business while there's light. Brethren, I don't know how much longer we have with the freedoms that we've got. Would I like and do I desire and do I pray that we'll have someone that's an authority that'll help us to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness? Absolutely. Would I love for the individual that's there now to be out of office and somebody godly get in there? Absolutely. Yes, I desire that. But brethren, I'm afraid for this. Why would we desire that? I want you to think about that question long. Why would we would desire somebody to get in there that would do the right thing? Would it then be for us just to go on and continue to live a pleasurable life for us? Or would we view it as even longer opportunity to do more for the cause of Christ? You see, brethren, look, I was thinking this week here. I'm not trusting tonight for Jesus Christ to keep me safe. I'm just trusting in Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying there? My trust is not that Jesus Christ is going to keep me happy and have a perfect life till the day he calls me home. I'm not trusting in that. But I am trusting in Christ. Take your Bible and look at Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 1. You see, there's a gospel today being preached and being put forth that once you get saved, everything is going to be wonderful. And everything is wonderful in Christ. But everything may not be wonderful in the flesh. Do we understand? Brethren, these last 3 days, this God help America. God help America. God help America. Colossians 3, verse 1. Look what the Bible says here, Paul says. Familiar portions of Scripture, these four verses. If ye then be risen with Christ. The first question is this. Are you risen with Christ? If you are, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse number 2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? Because if you start setting your affections on things of this earth, you're going to be sorely disappointed and let down. Brethren, please understand what I'm talking about this evening. Look here. If my life, I pray you hear me, I pray you understand. God, I pray this makes sense tonight, Lord. I pray it does. If my life is completely wrapped around my wife and my daughter, that's not right to God. If all my life just revolves around me trying to keep my wife and daughter safe from any harm, that's wrong. That's wrong. Now, do I do what I can up to a point? Yes, that would be foolishness. But if my wife and my daughter have such a grip on my heart to where if I lost them, I would completely lose my mind, that means that they were then an idol in my life and I put them before Christ Jesus. And it's hard to say that as a preacher. Because the thoughts come in your head, well, you're going to lose your wife, you're going to lose your daughter. Oh, you got all these big swelling words. My hope is in Jesus Christ, because brethren, we cannot hold on to this life, and a lot of you in here know that. We are mortal. At some point in the near distant future, at least I know we got at least 1,000 years, but after that 1,000 years, there is going to be nothing left of this earth. Nothing. That's Bible. This earth is going to be dissolved. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth someday. And as Christians, if Bible believers, we believe that. That means everything that we see here right now, the here and now, will be dissolved except one thing, and that is the souls of mankind. Everything else is gone. Everything. Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, through the Apostle Paul says, verse 2, it says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye, look what the Bible says, for ye are dead. You're dead. You, look, if you're born again, you're dead. You're dead to sin. You are now made alive to live unto God in true righteousness and holiness. You have, and we're going to look at it here in a second. If you're saved tonight, you are now have given a great opportunity to live for Jesus Christ in this body, which you couldn't do before when you were lost. He says, for ye are dead, and your life, where is your life hid? Your life is hid with Christ in God. Look, we just sang it tonight. My only hope is on the solid rock. My hope tonight is upon Jesus Christ. The Bible says the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Look here, and I'm going to mention it again Sunday. We can lock these doors, and that's fine. But what are you going to do when you step outside these doors? Think about it long and hard, brethren. I've been thinking about it for 3 days. What's to say the individual that wants to kill us and shoot us isn't waiting across the street there in those woods, and as soon as we walk out the doors, then he shoots us? Brethren, I'm being honest. Do I want that? No. But I think all things all the way through, because I was in law enforcement. 10 years I did it. I try to think of every scenario, everything that I could do in every scenario. Jason, you probably know it as being in law enforcement too at one point. I'm always thinking of what ifs. What if this happens? What would I do if this happens? What would I do if this happens? And that's fine. But ultimately, the horse is prepared against the day of battle. We do what we can do. But ultimately, our faith, our trust is in Jesus Christ. That's why I said earlier, I'm not trusting in Jesus to keep me safe. I'm trusting in Jesus. If the Lord allows it, then He allows it. Do I do what I can do up to a point? Yes. But then I leave the rest in the Lord's hands. Do I love and I do what I can for my wife and my daughter, but then I need to rest in God, or else I'm going to go crazy. In my mind, I'll go crazy. My life is hid in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ knows the very hairs of our head. He knows the number of the very hairs of the head on our head. He cares for, he loves us. But Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Brethren, back to 2 Peter. There's individuals who will creep in and they'll put thoughts into our minds that it's all about this life, when in reality, it's not all about this life. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Christ. Look, the Bible says they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Why do they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime? Because they do not realize, or they choose to ignore, that there is a day coming where all mankind will have to stand before God. Whether it's the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment, either way, we will have to give an account at some point before God Almighty. Romans chapter 13, look what Paul says here in verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in a day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 1. Paul tells the church here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Brethren, let us work while it is the day. Let us not be drawn astray by those that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Paul goes on further to say here in 2 Peter that they are spots and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Last week, I believe we looked at, look, you can't take yourself out of the world. You have to be in the world. We can't just run away and say we're not going to deal with the world. We're not going to be around the world. That's foolish talk. We must be in the world. But we can control how much of the world we allow to influence us. The Bible says here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, the latter part, it says, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Sporting themselves. That means that which diverts and makes merry. Playing, games, diversion. I found this statement here in 2 Peter very, very, very interesting. All, and I think everybody in this church thinks along. Look, there's something strange going on with this COVID stuff. And I know that's old news. Okay, it don't make no sense. And I just saw today, I saw a young girl out in Wyoming get arrested in school and $1,000 fine, two $500 fines, $1,000 total, for not wearing a mask. Hang on, listen to me. Yet this Saturday and Sunday, over probably 100 stadiums across the United States this Saturday and Sunday, you're going to have 100,000 people in some of these stadiums packed together wearing no masks. Something's not right. Yet those same students that will pack the stadium to watch the football game coming up this Saturday and Sunday, those same students that don't have to wear a mask there in that stadium, yet when they go on campus and go into the classrooms, they have to. Brethren, there's more going on here. And I say this to say, let's take the opportunity God's given us till the opportunities are taken away. I don't know what's coming down the pipe, but I don't think it's going to get better. So I don't say that to get discouraged. I'm excited. You know why I'm excited? Some people, you look like, this preacher's crazy. Because the worse things get, the more excited I get, because that means it's closer for me to go home. I'm ready to go home now. Lord, I would show no objection if all of a sudden tonight we're driving home and we're going out of here. I'll be ecstatic. You know, I had a, and you're going to think I'm crazy on this. There's been two times in my life I've had a dream to where I'm standing there and all of a sudden, like, just all of a sudden I realized, this is it. This is it. The Lord is coming back. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, this is it. We're getting ready to go home. The clouds start doing something. I'm like, this, we're getting out of here. And then I wake up. And the other day, I was, one of the dreams I had one day, I was with my wife and we were in a car and we were near, and just, I said, this is it. We're out of here. We're leaving. We're gone. The Lord's coming back. And you know, the other day I was standing out there holding signs and I got seen and looking at that sun sitting over there and looking at those clouds. I'm thinking, what if this is the time? Look, have you ever done that before? Have you ever looked at the clouds before and looking at them thinking, all of a sudden, our Savior could just come right through on that cloud right there and say, let's go. Let's go. We're out of here. Come on. Come on home. Come on home. You're out of here. You're with me now for eternity. It's all good. You can rest now. I'm taking you home. And there's times where you look at those sunsets and I look at those clouds and I think, man, just any moment now, at any moment, at some point here in the near future, my Savior is coming through those clouds and he's coming to take me home. And the darker I get, because the Bible tells me that it's got to get dark. It has to. The Bible says it's got to get dark. And so the darker it gets, the more excited we should be in the right way to realize it's bringing in closer the return of our Savior Jesus Christ and going home for eternity. But until that day, let us not get distracted by the world that may cause us to go home with spots and blemishes. You see, this world is sporting itself. It's deceiving its own self. And though it feasts with us, though we're in the world and we eat with the world sometimes and we're around the world sometimes, we don't have to let the world blemish us, spot our garments before we go on home. Take your Bible and look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We don't have to let this world taint us before we go home. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse number 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Now, that verse there, verse 3, later on, and maybe if you're Bible study, go back and look through 2 Peter again, and you're going to find some of those same words that Peter talks about to the letter he wrote to those saved individuals. He talks about fornication, he talks about uncleanness, he talks about covetousness. Well, Paul here says to the Ephesians, he says, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. He's saying, listen, don't let these blemishes, don't let these spots that believers can partake in. He said, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. You see, as a saint of God, it's not becoming, it's not fitting for a saint of God to be involved in fornication or in uncleanness or in covetousness. Paul says, don't let it even be named once among you. And then he goes on to say, listen, saints, he says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You know what's convenient, you know what is a sweet-smelling savor unto God is when we give thanks. Brethren, I'm talking about giving thanks for all things. If you like a hot shower, the next time you get in there, say, God, thank you for this hot shower. I do it. I do it. I say, God, I'm thankful to the Lord. There may come a day, dear God, I won't have a hot shower no more, Lord. Thank you for today, I got one. I'm thankful for it. Brethren, I'm serious as I'm standing here. Thank you, dear Lord, I got a hot shower. Because, brethren, there's been places and states I've been in, countries I've been, I did not have a hot shower. Brethren, when I was down in Haiti right now, and it doesn't happen too much here in Pennsylvania, but down there in South Carolina, you know real quick how much you appreciate AC when it goes out. Like real quick you appreciate AC. Sometimes you think, how did these people that had plantations and all these things down south, how did they live during the summertime? Now I know they got used to it, but I'm not used to it. And when I was down there in Haiti one time, I remember laying on that bed and I had the fan running, and I had taken a little shower that the man allowed me to take, and it didn't do nothing for me because I was sweating while I was taking the shower. I got out, I laid up on that bunk bed with some other guys that I was with, and it was just miserable. It was so hot, just miserable. But I was thankful. You see, brethren, we need to give thanks for all things. Lord, thank you for the times I struggle. Lord, thank you for my car. Dear God, thank you that I can walk. Lord, thank you that I can see. Dear God, thank you that I can hear. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the food I had to eat. Lord, thank you. Look, there, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And you're never going to stop counting. You see, that is what becomes a saint. You see, that is what is fitting for a saint of God. A saint of God that's just thankful. When the Lord looks at that, he says, that's exactly what I'm looking for. That smells good to me. But look at verse 5 in Ephesians chapter 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, nor idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God or of Christ and of God. Look what he says next. Because this verse 6 here in Ephesians chapter 5 can be cross-referenced with 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you with vain words. That's what we're looking at in 2 Peter chapter 2. False teachers coming in, pernicious ways. Many shall follow their pernicious way. Look, false teachers, here it talks about, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Look what he says next then. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. I love you tonight. That's not Chris Welton speaking there. That's the Bible. It says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Why, brethren? Because they'll deceive you. They'll pull you away with their deceiving words. They'll make merchandise of you with their feigned words. They'll trick you. They'll pull you in. They'll cause a diversion from what really matters. I talked about it, about why the church has lost power. And I think one of the reasons why the church has lost power is because of diversion techniques of the enemy. Verse number 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." And here he says again, which goes right back up to verse number 7, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved, are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Brethren, we need to redeem the time because the days are evil. We need to walk circumspectly. We need to walk with all diligence. We need to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly love, and charity, and love, and joy. We need to add to our faith these things, because if these things be in us, we'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But when you lack these things, and when you're not walking circumspectly, and when you're not walking with diligence, and when you're drifting away, and you're starting to fall asleep, and you're starting to let the world affect you, it will hinder your walk with God, and unfortunately, it will blemish your garments to where you go home someday. I'm going to close with this right here. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. All these verses, there's so many cross-references with these verses in the Pauline epistles, and in even with what Peter wrote, and with the book of Jude. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hidden to that are lost." Who's our God? If we don't preach the gospel, who's affected by it? The lost. Verse 4. "In whom the God of this world," Satan, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." We're the light. The light of Christ should shine through us in our daily walk with Him. But also the Bible is light. The Scriptures are light. The very word of God is light that shines in our heart. Verse 7, "But we have this treasure." What treasure? The treasure of Jesus Christ. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." I'm not trusting in Jesus to keep me safe. I'm trusting in Jesus. He's my anchor. He's my foundation. He's my solid rock. My only hope is in Jesus Christ. He is the one in whom I trust. He is the one that gives me power to live for Him. Look what Paul says in verse 8. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed." Why is this happening to me? God, I don't understand these things. Lord, can you give me an answer? God, can you help me figure this out? Lord, I'm perplexed, dear God. Lord, I don't understand this, dear God. This is Paul talking. He says, "We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Think about that verse for a little while. When bad things happen to you, when trials happen to you, when afflictions happen to you, when persecutions happen to you, and you still keep going forward, you then manifest the life of Jesus Christ through the things you go through, because you realize, I am not sustaining myself. It's Jesus Christ that's sustaining me. It's almost as if you're that bush that doesn't get consumed by the fire. And the world stands there in amazement and observes it as if there's a fire there, but they're not getting consumed. They're perplexed, but they're not in despair. They're troubled on every side, but they're not distressed. They're pure persecuted, yet they're saying they're not forsaken. They're cast down, but they're not destroyed. That is the burning bush that is not being consumed by the fire, because it's God keeping it together. Verse number 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Look over at verse number chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I love this next verse. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is in heaven. If so be that we being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but be clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Jump down to verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, because of these things, because we have a home in heaven, a building of God, not made of hands, eternal in the heavens, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Look what it says in verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again to you, but we give occasion to glory on your behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. There's many more cross references with chapter 5, verse 10. It's interesting that Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I may get passionate sometimes, but I think that can line up there with verse number 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Brethren, I get passionate sometimes because, as I said earlier, we must all appear, if we're saved, before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. You see, though you're saved, your spirit's been born again of God, you've been left in his flesh, and this flesh can do good, and this flesh can still do evil. A saved individual can still commit fornication. A saved individual can still go out to the bar and get drunk. A saved individual can go out there and do all kinds of horrible things because they still have flesh. And unless you put the flesh death to death daily, for I die daily, Paul says, and I'm not going to look at it tonight, but I was going to look at it, Romans chapter 6. I was going to read the whole chapter of Romans chapter 6 because it goes hand in hand. We're to put daily, we're to put this flesh to death and allow and yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. This flesh can still do bad things. This flesh can still lie. This flesh can still steal. This flesh can still do all kinds of wrong things because it's still flesh. This flesh has not been redeemed. Your soul's been redeemed. Your spirit's been redeemed. There's a spiritual circumcision that takes place on the inside of you, but you've still been left in this flesh which still is going to see corruption and which still can do wrong. Yet not to worry, because we now have the Holy Spirit inside of us who can bring this flesh into subjection. This flesh has no more power, but sometimes we allow it to have power. Peter says, "And you shall receive the, and they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling or tricking or deluding unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children." And we're going to look at the rest later on. Let's make sure that we don't get deceived by their feigned words, these false teachers that creep in and try to draw us away from the truth that's found in God's Word. The devil himself, his devils. Let's make sure this world doesn't draw us away with its spots and its blemishes and hinders what we can lay up for Christ someday in eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, I thank you for these precious brethren, Lord, taking time out. I know a lot of them are tired, dear God. They've worked all day. And Lord, I'm thankful as a pastor, dear God, that they were willing to come out to church tonight, dear God. I pray, Father, you'd honor them in that. And Lord, that you'd give them good rest tonight. Lord, help them, dear God, those that got to go to work this morning or tonight, dear God. I pray you'd help those, the rest of us, dear God, Lord, that we would just be faithful to you, Lord. Lord, help us not to be tricked. Help us not to be deceived. Help us not to give into this flesh, dear God. I pray you'd help us with that, Lord. Lord, I pray everybody here tonight, dear God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to lay up gold, silver, and precious stones. Lord, that we would do good things in our body, this flesh that you've left us in. And Lord, until someday you call us home and give us that house that you have prepared for us there in heaven. Lord, help us to be about your business. Lord, help us not to get distracted. God, help us to walk while we have light, Lord. Lord, I don't know how much longer we're going to have light, dear God, and the freedoms that we do enjoy, but Lord, help us to take advantage of them while we do have them. And Lord, we pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.